Neuroscouting, what is it and how does it affect baseball? I'll bring you that conversation as I speak with the one and only Chris Weichel of College Baseball Scouting Network. He's a scout, he's an analytical mind, and there's a whole lot coming up right now on the Long Ball Podcast with Andrew Brown.
From college to the pros, America's pastime in full force 24/7 on the Long Ball with Andrew Brown.
And welcome in, everybody. Once again, this is the Long Ball Podcast with Andrew Brown, and I am Andrew Brown. Thank you so very much for joining with me. Make sure everybody check me out on Twitter at @abrown_13878. I'll be on Facebook as well. I'm on the Anchor Podcast app, and I'm looking to get into a whole lot more platforms, many more platforms as we go further, like iTunes and so forth. So please make sure to be on the watch for that. Also, going to get the website up here within a matter of a week or two, so please, again, be on the lookout for that. Hope you enjoyed my last episode with Red Sox beat writer Chris Cotillo of MassLive.com. As you know, Red Sox are doing a lot in this offseason. Arbitration's coming up, and they set a January 11th deadline of you sign with us or we're heading to arbitration. And, of course, if you want to know anything that goes on within the Red Sox organization, Chris Cotillo on Twitter, at Chris Cotillo, is the one to check out. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, again, this is a show that covers both collegiate and professional baseball, and I will also throw in some very interesting interviews outside the sport itself. But this time, it's one of those times where I get to involve both collegiate and professional baseball. And primarily, we're going to be discussing the likes of a very interesting new topic called neuroscouting. And for anybody who has known me, you know that I've said it before, I'll say it again. Scouts in this day and age who have to be analytically inclined, I believe, could not just run a team like Farhan for the San Francisco Giants, but ultimately, the sport of baseball in its entirety and pretty much any government, really, they're very smart, forward-thinking people. And one of those individuals, as I have probably already mentioned before, he works with the College Baseball Scouting Network. He works in the Eugene, Oregon area, has drummed up many and numerous analytic baseball clubs for the University of Oregon. His name is Chris Weichel, and I'm glad to have him on the show. Chris, thank you so very much for taking the time to grace us with your talents. So, Chris, really starting right off the bat here, I want you to kind of take us through your journey here, because you are labeled as the West Coast Regional Scout for College Baseball Scouting Network. And from reading your articles, you're very analytical and forward thinking. And you're also, like, as I mentioned, a staff writer there. So first off, kind of take us through your journey about how you've gotten to this point and what it's been like for you kind of morphing the analytical and scouting worlds together.
I knew from like a very young age I wanted to be in baseball. Didn't really know how to do it because I wasn't the best player. And so I slowly just started working, like looking at front offices, how everything goes on behind the scenes. And I slowly started to realize I was always good at math. So I'm like, analytics side is probably the way to go. So I started the analytics branch of the UO Sports Business Club as like a sophomore in college. Kind of worked from there. Through that, came in touch with the Collegiate Baseball Scouting Network guys. And I originally was brought on as a scout. So I just covered the Oregon area, mainly Oregon and Oregon State. After doing that for a couple months, I was writing my own personal analytics blog on the side. So they asked if they wanted to transition me over to the writing side as well. So currently I am both a staff writer and an Oregon area scout, which really lets me like blend both scouting analytics together, which is something that I think is up and coming in the industry. Scouts need to be able to do obviously not high level regressions that the actual R&D people do, but at least understand how to collect and analyze data. So I kind of been like working those together slowly.
And Chris, what has that been like for you? What's been the kind of the challenges, or what's the journey been like for you molding those two together?
There's always been that idea that scouting and analytics side are at odds and they fight each other. And while that is an idea outside the industry, inside, it is the exact opposite almost. Those two teams are highly integrated. Everyone is heading towards a data-first idea. And so really, I'm trying to be in that transition point between the two and blend them together as well as possible.
Once again, everybody, talking with Chris Weichel of the College Baseball Scouting Network, also a staff writer and currently in the Eugene, Oregon area. Make sure to check him out at WeichelChris5271. Chris, now, as a scout here, there's got to be a lot of things that you see that maybe others, even in the industry, don't see. When you're out there being a scout, doing the scouting side of things, what are you most looking for out of a player, whether it be pitcher or a position player? What are you most looking for? What are the top two things that you need to see or you want to see?
So I would say in combination, athleticism, so like body control and quickness and kind of all that lumped into one, jumping ability, like how they look when they're fluid, that combined with good control of the plate. So just well advanced hitting ideas, good discipline, good vision, able to pick up the ball well. When those two are combined, that's really what I look for. It doesn't happen often. Usually you'll have the super toolsy, super raw bat, or you'll have the no tools, but just smart player. But if they're both in one player, that's absolutely what I look for. Raw powers is always what people want to look for as well. And then velocity for pitchers. And for pitchers, that's absolutely what I do look for is velocity. But for hitters, I would definitely say athleticism and control of the plate.
Once again, everybody, Chris Weichel of the College Baseball Scouting Network, West Coast Regional Scout and Staff Writer, joining me now on the Long Ball Podcast with Andrew Brown. I love, Chris, what you and I were speaking about a little bit beforehand and what you were just talking about. In a world like baseball and you're trying to beat the competition, with so many levels of baseball, you got to be very efficient. You got to have with individuals who can go out there and find the best players in a more efficient manner and a deeper level. That's what makes the teams and baseball itself better. I also love what you talked about, when it comes to both sides, because I think baseball it holds on to old-time traditions a little bit longer than other sports. And I myself love the new-age thinking analytics. I love the opener. I love bringing out numbers like OPS plus, WAR, weighted on base average, isolated power. I love FIP for pitchers, field independent pitching. And so from your analytical brain here, how much has the analytical side and the new age analytical thinking really helped you personally as a scout with what you're looking for? And just basically, how has that helped baseball as a whole and vice versa?
It definitely helps a lot, because nowadays when you send out a scout, you're not just sending them out with a radar gun. You're taking all sorts of data. So more and more today in college parks, not really in high school, you're going to have a TrackMan system there. So you're wanting your scouts to go there and at least be able to view that data and like come to conclusions based around it. So back in the day, you really would just do velocity, do your 20 to 80 scale, a little bit of notes. Now they want you to say what their spin rate looks like, their horizontal vertical movement. So it's more like a number-based exact science instead of like the basically feeling it out art it used to be. So I'd say that's like the main change in the scouting realm, because now that there's so many more things you have to take into account.
Once again, everybody, Chris Weichel of the College Baseball Scouting Network, West Coast Regional Scout Staff Writer. Now, Chris, I have always been under the thought that, and in talking with other scouts, that scouts in particular, especially in today's age, really have a good grasp on the trends that are going within the game of baseball. It seems like they're the first boots on the ground. They see what's going on. They're the ones that see the first implementation of new ideas. So from all your journeys, all of your endeavors within the scouting world, what are some of the big trends you have noticed recently within the world of baseball, both at the collegiate and professional level?
One of the biggest things I've been seeing recently is rise of like biometric scouting. So this has become a lot easier recently because markerless technology is now being like heavily adopted. So basically before, you could get your pitcher biometrics, which basically measures fatigue, work rate on muscles, stuff like that. It really helps with like pitchers mostly. And you have to take them into the lab and strap on all this equipment and have them throw pitches. So it was really hard getting a big sample size enough to be significant, and you weren't in an actual game environment. So the data was, like, useful, but you really couldn't do, like, that much with it. But now they have marker lists, so basically it's just set up around the stadium, and you can capture in-game footage with that of all the ligaments in a pitcher's body, his mechanics, release points, how much torque he generates.
And Chris, what are the implications of such things like biometric scouting? I mean, what are the benefits that will be drawn, not just now, but in the future, what trends could come of it? And kind of take us through where this all started. What's the comparison between what we've used now and how things like biometric scouting will improve things going forward?
Well, that stuff is really useful data to have just for overall pitcher health. And that's, like, a big trend in, like, at least where the data side is going, like, having that factor in. Because, to be fair, at least from the team side metric analytic perspective, they're about as good as it could really get. Every once in a while, they'll make little tweaks to the formula and the projection systems, but that's already pretty good. Now that this data is coming in, it just adds more, like, factors and variables to your model, which can really help you not only project how well he's going to play, but now how well he's going to stay healthy, what parts of the body are at risk. It really, like, blows up the field and enters, like, when it's like when TrackMan came in with all the spin rate and velocity and movement. So now it's, like, health-based. So this is huge not only for, like, playing well, but also just keeping people healthy, which is, I'd say, the main trend the game is going to right now. That's, like, a new big thing. Not every team even has the marker list. I think it's, like, 10 teams are using the systems right now, and I expect by the end of the year every single team to use it. I think it's going to be revolutionary. We're already seeing less Tommy John, which is great. That's what you want to see. You are seeing a rise in small DL stints, but I think that's part of the reason due to this, because they'll see the tension building up in people's arms, and they'll give them a little rest before it really turns into something major. So I think it's going to be huge for the game, and by this time next year, I think you'll be hearing about it nonstop.
And again, everybody, joined by Chris Weichel of the College Baseball Scouting Network, West Coast Regional Scout and Staff Writer. He's joining the Long Ball Podcast. And you know what? We've talked about scouting. We've talked about the analytics side. And we've also talked about biometrics in the game. And that leads me to a topic that I found very interesting. And really, when I read this article from you, Chris, I knew I had to get you on and talk about it. Neuroscouting. Yes, that's right. Neuroscouting. And there, it really was very interesting, not just in what it was, but the implications and implementation into the game. And so really, before I ruin any of it here, Chris, take us through what is neuroscouting and really how much similarities is there to the biometric side of things and really what are the implementations and implications going forward within the game?
So neuroscouting is very similar. They're like two separate paths of basically the same field. While biometrics is more your ligaments, your muscles, your bones, neuroscouting is like measuring your mind. Basically, the generic use it started with was you would throw this little mesh cap on with like brain sensors. It's used a lot in like actual neuroscience. You take that and then you run players through like little games, like reaction games, reaction tests. You would even have them see pitches and then like decide whether it's a ball or strike. And then from that, it'll generate how much, like how quickly your mind can actually do that. It's not all attention and being on it. Like, it's actually a genetic skill to have fast reaction times. And so the effort was to, like, basically quantify that and give it a number to evaluate. And this was starting to be used probably 7 to 10 years ago. Only, like, a couple of teams picked it up.
And with that, Chris, just quickly, I've noticed that within a lot of trends in sports, there are usually a couple faces that go with those trends. Have you noticed that within this such a trend? Has there been a player or coach that has really kind of catapulted this whole thing?
The main big like poster boy for this is Mookie Betts. Because when he came out for the draft, he was an undersized outfielder, actually infielder at the time. And everyone knew he was a good player. But the thing that the Red Sox pushed him over the top for them is that he scored off the chart in all of the data points that this type of system captures.
And once again, everybody, Chris Weichel of College Baseball Scouting Network. Now, Chris, with that, you know, we've mentioned a lot of good things about it, but is there a downside, or has there been any struggles with getting this going within baseball, both collegiately and professionally?
It's shown. It's hard getting that much, because the problem with neuroscouting from a system-wide thing is you can't really get actual in-game data, which is huge, because you really want that sample size to be massive and have almost every single player in it, so you can actually have significant data. It's great for evaluating players, but it's hard to make it, to see if it's significant enough to actually project to the skills in the major leagues. So that's what they're working on right now. And on the side of that, they're also doing training, which basically is run players through games, and that you will slowly see increases in all their skills. So pitch recognition, reaction times both in the field and at the plate, just kind of anything that has to do with the mental side of the game. But one thing that really interests me about it is you can actually simulate at-bats with the pitchers you're seeing in the future. So it kind of takes almost like a VR side. And they'll throw you up against a computer-generated version of the pitcher that they take from, like, actual mechanics from the player through video. And you can just run through as many at-bats as you want, just over and over again, which is huge because not everyone can replicate Chris Sale. You're not going to see BP Chris Sale. That's not possible. But through simulation, you can go through, like, 100 at-bats against him, see how your mind reacts to it, and then try to adjust to face it, which is huge. I think it's a great training tool and a great young player evaluation tool. I think of that along with biometrics are like both sides of the physicality and the mental side of the game. And quantitating both of them is a huge step towards understanding what actually makes a ball player great, which is obviously the goal through scouting and number side.
Chris Weichel joining the Long Ball Podcast with Andrew Brown. Chris Weichel, College Baseball Scouting Network staff writer and scout. Now, Chris, this seems like a very interesting topic, and not just to me, but to everyone who has read your article and spoken to you about this. So take us through, how did you initially come about this, and how did you initially get interested in the neuroscouting side of things?
So neuroscouting, I ran into 2 or 3 years ago. It was honestly in a podcast. I was listening to the DFA podcast from Baseball Perspective, and they would just like quick anecdote about how neuroscouting was used to draft. It was some player. I don't remember exactly who. I was like, oh, that's super interesting. And I started looking into it, doing my research, getting it together. And I was like, I'm definitely going to write a piece about this. I think this is amazing. This is going to be huge. It's getting bigger and bigger. This is the time to put this out. And then for biometrics, one of my bosses, Richard Burfer, he's like the head of scouting for Collegiate Baseball Scouting Network. He's doing a thesis on it. And so I talked to him a bunch, got his perspective on it, got a lot from him. He's a very smart guy. And now I'm coming out with another piece soon. I went to the winter meetings and I interviewed a couple of biometrics companies, and I'm going to post a piece about what they feel about it, where it's going, what's happening in the industry, because it's almost a separate industry at this point from the MLB front office. So like, it's a lot of like PhD medical people working on it and then selling it to the MLB teams. So it's not like actual MLB team money going towards the development of this. This is like off third party development. And so I talked to those guys, learned a bunch. They're also incredibly smart people. And yeah, they're always like welcome to talk. They love their products. They want it to get bigger. And I think it definitely will. That was my intro to both of those things.
And again, everybody, you're listening to the Long Ball Podcast with Andrew Brown, joined by Chris Weichel of the College Baseball Scouting Network, talking now about neuroscouting. And Chris, as we talk with the implementation side of things, you talked about kind of the uses of it earlier on, who was on board and really how things have progressed with it. And you talked about the uses, really the training of the brain to see the types of pitches that you wouldn't normally see from different pitchers. how it could be used to train within batting practice and other uses that go deeper at a deeper level. But in terms of implementation across all levels, is there an area where you see it being more effectively used, like at the college scene with younger athletes, or is it basically unilateral across all levels of baseball?
I think it's very useful in the MLB level to prep for the pitcher you're coming, so do the simulation type thing. But by the time a player is the MLB, his mind is fully developed. So the actual training side of it won't work as well when a player is older just because their mind is already what it is. I think the perfect place for it, the training side at least, to be used is high school, college, and low-level minor league levels. The one problem is it is expensive. So a lot of teams, especially high schools, aren't going to be able to afford it, which really hampers its effectiveness because that's when they really need it. It's when you're in high school, because everyone knows like that's your when your mind grows the most. That's when you develop. That's when you become like your full adult self. And that's when this could be super effective because you're already that's when your mind is already growing. And this training on top is just going to get the most out of it at any point in their lives. I don't know if it ever, it probably will never catch on to high school just as a cost thing. High school budgets are not enough to afford this type of advanced tech. But if it wasn't a cost thing, that I think high school and really early college and minor league would be the ideal location for it. And also it would be great. It's great for recruiting as well for college teams, just so you can have extra data. And the system, they're working on a portable one, which would help a lot because you could take it on the road, bring it to the player, and scout him in his own house even if you want to. So there is like a huge opportunity there. It's just neuroscouting would have to make it more cost efficient for it to ever fully take advantage of that market.
Now, Chris, I wanted to dive a little bit further into the benefits of it, because you briefly talked about benefits that could not only be used now, but you can see that will continue to be benefits as this system continues on through the years. So kind of take us through again some of the bigger benefits that you see, not just now, but also happening in the future with neuroscouting and so forth.
Yeah, so from my experience as a scout, one of the hardest things to project is a player's hit tool. So their ability to control the strike zone, make consistent hard contact, hit for average, it's kind of lumped up together with plate discipline. And just having this metric of what the reaction times look like, how will they pick up the ball, their strike zone recognition, that's huge. Because from going to a couple games, that's very hard to pick up. If they're not facing high-end velocity, which they most likely won't at those low levels, it's so hard to decide whether you think their swing or their approach could do that in the future. But if I had this number, I was like, all right, this guy is top 10% in reaction time, then I'd be more confident saying this will transition to hitting high velocity. Same thing with just zone recognition, because these guys they're facing don't have the best stuff. So while they might be laying off that curveball in the dirt off this guy throwing a 65-mile-an-hour looper, if you're facing MLB-level, low 80s power curves with sharp, way sharper break, it's really hard to say whether like he's only doing that because he's facing low competition or he actually has that skill in his profile. And it's something that scouts have been struggling for a while. Most of my superiors also say that's the hardest thing to quantify and to portray in your reports. I would love to see neuroscouting data for every player I scout. It would help a lot. It would help me look deeper into each at bat and really give make me just more confident overall in projecting hit tool. Honestly, if you ask even the highest level scout, that's the one thing that always makes them nervous. And having this would be huge and just make me a more confident player and honestly, or more confident scout, honestly, better scout.
And again, everybody, you're listening to the Long Ball Podcast with Andrew Brown as we are talking with Chris Weichel of College Baseball Scouting Network. He's up in the Eugene, Oregon area. He's a staff writer, scout, analytical mind, and I'm talking with him now. And Chris, I know you and I have gone back and forth, and the phrase and the word TrackMan system has come up, and you briefly talked about that and its implementation, but I kind of want to dive a little bit further for the listeners about what the TrackMan system is, what we're using now, and how that compares to what neuroscouting would be like and the implementation of that at a deeper level going forward in the game.
TrackMan is behind the plate at every MLB game. Will be a huge black box. It's just flat black. And so basically that, paired with a couple cameras on each of the dugouts, is used to track velocity, pitcher spin rate, so like how fast the ball is spinning. So the faster it spins, basically the more movement it has. Vertical and horizontal break, exit velocity from the batter side, launch angle. So basically everything you see from the StatCast department at MLB, that's what they get from TrackMan. And so it's really not a player evaluation. Like, it's not evaluating your skill, like how you move, how you think. It's more evaluating what actually happened in the game. And it's super useful stuff, but it just doesn't go as deep into why this pitcher is, say, throwing 99, why this hitter is hitting the ball so far. It just tells you they are. So what neuroscouting and biometrics does is it digs deeper into that and says this pitcher throws this hard because he generates this amount of torque in his elbow. He puts this much weight on his front foot, pushes off with this amount of force from his back foot, creates this much torque in his upper body. So it kind of like gets into the nitty gritty of like why they are doing that. And then neuroscouting goes even deeper than the biometrics, which does that, and goes into their head and tries to say what they're thinking, how fast they're thinking, how effective they are at picking things up, how they read the ball off the bat. Really, when you combine all three of those things, it just kind of creates a full image of a player and tries to capture every single part about a baseball player that is important. So basically, they all work in synergy. They're all trying to basically accomplish the same goal, like evaluating how good a player is and projecting them for the future. And in each part, I don't know if it's enough, but when you combine all three of those with just normal eye test, scouting analysis, and your on-the-field metrics, you can really get a full image of a player without even watching them that often, which is incredible and the end goal in all baseball operations department.
And you know what, Chris? I'm sure we'll be seeing a lot of that progress here. You'll be at the forefront of that for sure. But Chris, I want to thank you so very much for joining the show. Again, everybody, Chris Weichel of the College Baseball Scouting Network out in Eugene, Oregon. Check him out on Twitter, guys, at WeichelChris5271. That's W-E-I-K-E-L, then Chris5271. Also, check him out on CollegeBaseballScoutingNetwork.com. Go there, check out all the great articles that he has to offer. Hopefully, all your questions have been answered about neuroscouting, but if not, go ahead and check him out. Message him on Twitter, and of course, he'll be happy to answer you there. Again, thanks so very much to Chris, and thank you to everybody who has listened in. Make sure to check me out on the Anchor podcast app, on Twitter, at abrown_13878. I'll have all my episodes posted there, and also on Facebook as well. I'll be getting a website page hooked up here in the next few weeks, and I'll be putting my episodes up there, as well as the Long Ball Podcast own Twitter and Facebook page, so make sure to be on the lookout for that as well. And before I officially sign off, ladies and gentlemen, one more thing. There has been a much more extensive conversation with Chris and myself talking about analytics and how it was used in the most recent MLB postseason and World Series, and of course, how it's been utilized at the front office level. There is a whole lot more conversation that I will put up in another episode of the podcast coming on up. I'll label it 5B, More Conversation with Chris. And then coming up later this week, early next week, as we have Major League Baseball vastly approaching the point at which they're going to announce a new class and introduce a new class into the Hall of Fame, I got to sit down with Wayne McDonald Jr. of Forbes and Forbes.com talking about who we like to be in, who should not be in, and more intriguing, the different trends that have come about and have evolved within baseball writers and their reasonings for voting players into the Hall of Fame and how that whole landscape and how the whole thought process has changed. So you don't want to miss out on that. That's going to be coming up again later this week, early next week. And with that, everybody, I'm going to sign out here. Thank you so very much for listening in. Again, check me out on Twitter and on Facebook. And again, with that, ladies and gentlemen, hopefully you've enjoyed this entire interview just as much as I have. Once again, a big thanks to Chris Weichel of the College Baseball Scouting Network. And until next time, folks, stay safe.